Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Burnwood is a skeptical vlogger who posts her views on YouTube. She's there to counter all the crazy conspiracy theories that keep popping up. She wants truth backed by evidence. But her whole world is turned upside down when a crazy old man approaches her with an outlandish theory, and the theory turns out to possibly be true. Now she's in a quandary. Go with her gut or believe the new story. Is it a vast conspiracy involving aliens, the government, and secret societies? Or is it all just smoke and mirrors? Just a bit of birthday party magic. Magic is also the name of a new film about a secretive project called Majestic 12 and conspiracy theories, sci-fi, and mysteries and thrills all in one film. Magic is co-written and directed by Toronto-based filmmaker Aaron Berry, his third feature and the first made by his production company Band for Life. It's having its Canadian premiere this Sunday at 4:30 at the Royal Cinema in Toronto as part of the Blood in the Snow or BITS Film Festival. And I'm very pleased to have Aaron here in studio at CIUT 89.5 FM to tell us more about Magic. Hi, Aaron.
Thank you for having me.
And, thanks so much for coming in.
I got to say, your synopsis is way better than the one I've been using. I think I need a copy of that.
Please do. So, I don't know if you could hear it because we haven't fixed it in yet, but there's a theme from X-Files playing over the top of this for obvious reasons.
Yes.
Your movie seems like a version of X-Files, the famous 1990s TV show, but we only have a Scully and no Mulder here.
Yeah, it was actually a shout out to another producer who actually sort of originally it was written with actually a middle-aged white male protagonist, perhaps resembling myself. Another producer read it and said, you know what, this would work better if you had like a young Dana Scully. Let's imagine Dana Scully kind of fresh out of college. She's young, she's skeptical. And one thing that's not in your synopsis that I think is also important is that it's 2008.
It's a period piece.
So yep. YouTube, of course, in 2008 has just started. So she's on the cusp and she's like an anti-conspiracy debunker. That's her thing. You know, I want the evidence. I'm going to look at every conspiracy that, of course, the internet is, of course, now, 11 years later, rife with. And she's like, I'm going to debunk it. I'm going to tell you the truth.
So tell me more about 2008. Why do you said it right before the Obama election in 2008. She has a bumper sticker on her laptop that says, you know, Obama hope.
Change. Yeah, it becomes a sort of, I don't want to sort of give away too much.
No spoilers,
but it does become a key element within the film once she sort of does her deep dive and sort of goes down the proverbial rabbit hole. So, plus it was a nice chance to sort of like setting it in 2008. The internet or YouTube is new, plus, you know, sort of the technology. She's using older gadgets, like she has a BlackBerry.
Yes, I saw that.
The iPhone does not quite exist yet. I think the first one was out in 2007, but it's like, so the technology is a little bit older, which is a little bit fun to play with as well.
So it's fundamentally about conspiracy theories, and it's centered on one of the most famous conspiracies of all time, Majestic 12, with a J.
Yes.
Hence nicknamed Magic.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yeah, that's the Magic is the sort of the military, not acronym, but their sort of abbreviation for
nickname.
Majestic 12. You probably more popularly known within popular culture as the Men in Black. Of course, the Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones movies. I think a new one just came out. I don't know why.
With new people. I don't know either.
Yeah. So it's based on that, which is a true conspiracy. You go back. So a lot of the things in the film are based on facts or real conspiracies that people do believe in.
So Majestic is for real?
Oh, yeah. Well,
Majestic, I mean, because isn't this tied with the whole Roswell and
yes.
Area 51 and all that sort of
well,
stuff?
Well, yes. There's one character who explains, you know, anything to do with conspiracies and aliens always goes back to Roswell.
Right.
So there is this, and they talk about it in the film, this fake well, I think it's fake, presidential memo from 1947 where Truman said, let's form this group called Majestic 12, and it's going to report directly to the president, and it's going to report on all things extraterrestrial and alien in nature. And of course, there's no proof of this in any kind of real presidential archive or anything like that. But people still, like the internet, latch onto it, and you can find copies of this document. It even shows up at one point in the film, and you know it's Burnwood's character, Burnwood, trying to debunk the whole thing as she goes through this process of what is the truth and what is not.
Pippa Burnwood. So what's the? I mean, I know in X-Files you have Scully like a skull and Mulder like murder. What is evoked by her name, Blackwood? Burntwood.
Well, yeah. It's not that clever. Yeah. It's Woodward and Bernstein.
Combine the names together. Because it is sort of a All the President's Men type story where she's searching for the...
And that was when we were trying to come up with a name. It's like, okay, well, just put those names together as opposed to, I guess, Steenward, which doesn't have quite the nice ring to it.
No. But tell me this. What are your personal gut feelings about conspiracy theories?
I am like the main character. I am very skeptical of most conspiracies. We live in a time now in the present where their leader of the free world, so to speak, is very much into conspiracy theories. And my gut feeling on most things, when you look at it and going, no, the evidence doesn't support it. Conspiracy theorists tend to sort of cherry pick evidence. They sort of look at all the things that support their theory, and they ignore anything that debunks it. And that is just not scientific method. You really want to look for things that will disprove your theory, not, oh, I'm just going to look for the things that prove it and ignore any evidence of the contrary. And I very much feel that way. And, you know, if an alien lands tomorrow and I see it with my own eyes, or, you know, it's reported by the so-called mainstream media, yeah, okay, I'll believe in it. But right now there is no evidence for me to believe that they exist.
And this isn't a spoiler, but this is part of the running theme in the movie that at least she's told that the whole Cold War was actually a war between aliens.
Yes, which again plays on existing conspiracy theories that are out there, that there are, you know, the Greys and the reptilians.
They seem to be totally politically...
Yes, but this is all out there. And we've just taken these things and sort of synthesized it as part of the script for the film. But a lot of it is, you know, a friend of mine who's very savvy on this is like, wow, you took a lot of things that are already out there and kind of just ran with them and sort of create this kind of elaborate story as a result, because that's what, you know, filmmaking
is. And again, no spoilers, but I think you manage both to prove and disprove the entire conspiracy theory world.
Yeah, I don't want to...
Anyway, I don't want to give it away, but you managed to have both as real and yet not real.
Well, let's just say that I think the ending is a little bit open-ended in a way.
Yeah.
You're not really sure at the end which way things are actually going, but that's part
of the
fun.
The question of perception and reality, right?
Yes, and that's part of the fun. And, you know, that's that. Yeah, certainly.
And this movie was shot in Toronto area? Or?
Yes, it was shot in Toronto and in Orillia, in Washego as well. Part of
on
it's...
On the beach,
Well, actually, those scenes were actually shot, and some of it was shot at Cherry Beach as well.
But
it was entirely shot in Ontario.
So X-Files, as everyone knows, was shot in Vancouver. What is it about Canadian productions that have this special view of American weirdness?
I'm not sure. I mean, we shot it here because I'm based here, and this is where I could call in all my favors on such a low budget film, and to maximize my production value. So I don't know if there's really any connection to I mean, there's certainly so much now being shot in Canada now. I mean, half the content you see on Netflix.
But I guess I'm thinking of more the, you didn't choose a Canadian topic, you choose a topic that's purely based in the U.S., but it's taken from an outside perception. What spurred your interest in the whole conspiracy theory, X-File, the whole world of all that?
I think it was inspired by X-Files, but I mean, and certainly, it's dealing in sort of world powers, and you know, our neighbor to the south is the world power, and this is where the big conspiracies seem to revolve around. There aren't too many Canadian conspiracy theories other than Bigfoot, but I
Bigfoot,
think
Sasquatch,
yeah, I'm
Wendigo.
I, not a big believer in the whole Bigfoot thing, which seems to have had a resurgence in the last like 10 years as well, where people are really obsessed and really believe that Bigfoot exists.
But that was not in your movie.
No. We're going to put in a little piece about it, like sort of other conspiracies, but it ended up getting cut out.
Yeah, so. And it sort of is too far away from the mainstream of your thing, maybe. Among other things, you have Barney and Betty Hill. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, who were Barney and Betty Hill?
They were the original abductees, I believe, in 1962 or 19. I can't know. It's mentioned in the film. I'll give you a lot of background on it. But they were the first ones that had the sort of the prototypical abduction experience, driving alone on a rural road, missing time, only remember their experiences once they were taken under hypnosis, and then they were like, you know, strapped to a table and
probed.
So they're the first ones that basically invented that concept that's now, you know, everyone has this, you know, I've get abducted by aliens, they're little green men and they're doing weird science on me and I don't remember things.
So. Yeah, in this movie, they're not little green men, they're little gray men, or at least the conspiracy theorists say.
Yes, they're corrected. They're not green, they're gray. So
That one totally baffled me. But
well, because they're referred to as the grays. Again, this part of the greater conspiracy. The Zeta Reticulans, if you follow this are all supposed to be the gray, large-eyed aliens that you've no doubt seen caricatures
And then there's the reptilians.
The reptilians, which are from, I'm already blanking on what. They're from another star system.
Outer space. Let's just say outer space.
But they're also supposed to be shapeshifters. Yes. And, you know, they you know, control the queen and you know, the major oil cartels and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit confusing me. I've never been that deep into it, but all the elements of it I have heard of before.
Well, that's the thing. And if we like to think that we appeal to both the sort of the casual conspiracy theory person as well as someone who has deep dived into it, where they're like, whoa, okay, you're really getting into the meat of things.
Do you think people are going to get very angry by your version of events?
We have some blowback on online.
Which ones in particular?
Well, people who are like, oh, finally a film that's going to tell the truth. And I was like, I don't know if it's really
not
doing that.
Exactly, I'm like, exactly, but sort of, but not exactly. But
yeah.
No. Yeah.
But I think that was what the fine line that I think X-Files also trod very adeptly, whereas it appealed to people who are, I think, real believers in UFOs and the people who are complete skeptics. And they were able to sort of hit this balance between, and it appealed to both sides. So I think that's what we're trying to do as well.
So is this skepticism and this belief in outlandish in my mind, outlandish theories of it, does it have to do with government secrecy and surveillance, which lead people to come up with their own story? Where do you think this all kind of came from?
Well, I mean, you're seeing it now. Again, like any, I think, good science fiction, it's not really about the past or the future. It's sort of reflecting the present, where you have this whole, you know, QAnon and the deep state.
Right, right.
That everyone always believes that there's some higher power. And whether it isn't a god or a supernatural super being, then it's something within the government itself, because people can't just deal with the complete randomness or the stupidity of human beings in large numbers, which is generally what explains most conspiracy theories. It's like, it's not somebody's being clever. It's just people generally being stupid and inept. And in large numbers, bad things happen. I don't know if I don't think people will like that explanation of conspiracies, but often that's the truth. And I think that's a reflection of we just want to believe that there's something greater than ourselves.
And finally, I can't talk about the movie before I talk about the main character, which is Pippa Burnwood, played by Paula Brancati, who does this great performance as this. She's in virtually every scene. I think she's in every scene. It's always from her point of view.
Yes.
She's the one who broadcasts or podcasts online, and she's the center of this whole strange mystery. Could you talk about how you found her and what she had to do with creating the role?
Well, Paula and I met. I've actually line produced the last two seasons of the series Slasher for Netflix.
Oh.
So we originally met on season 2, and you know, after that, I was like, hey, I have this script. Would you be interested in doing it? And she was like, yeah. And totally, you know, sort of, and loved the fact that it was all like, it was all her, wall-to-wall her. So,
but she does a great performance and it's a very interesting movie. Thanks so much for talking with me. Aaron Berry, his film Magic is having its world or Canadian premiere at Toronto's Blood and the Snow Festival on Sunday, November 24th at 4:30 p.m. at the Royal Cinema on College Street. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.